To you, the only wise God, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever. Amen. Please be seated. Well, here we are at Advent 4. A lot of you are here today. That's great. We're very ready to celebrate Christmas. I see lots of wonderful red and greens out there, and all, of course, in here as well. Some of you, I'm sure, have already opened your presents early, or you're going to do it right after this. Some of the little ones are probably really looking forward to tomorrow morning. And so I'm thinking about a present that is just unbelievable. Every one of us has gotten something like that. I wonder how many of you have ever seen this little video from 1988. It's a little guy named Steve with big, thick glasses and a good 1988 bowl haircut. Cute little guy, about 8 years old. That's where I was that time. I didn't have the glasses or the bowl haircut, but I relate to Steve. So this little video of Steve, it's called Crying Nintendo Kid. And he, little Steve here, it's Christmas morning. It's that old, shaky, big, giant camera moving around on the video. And little Steve is opening his present. He opens it up, and it is the original Nintendo Entertainment System. For those of you that were not alive yet, that was like the greatest gift a kid could ever get at that time. And so he rips it off, and he realizes what it is. He's clearly not expecting to get it. And he looks at it, and he just cries, screams, Nintendo! And tears just start rolling down his eyes. He's crying, and he shuffles over to his dad and throws his arms around him and says, thank you, and he's just bawling. And you hear his dad start to get choked up, and he say, well, just go play it, son. Go play. Have fun. Little Steve was just could not believe that his dad could give him such a generous gift. And so I wonder how many of you have ever received something. Maybe you didn't cry as much as Steve, but probably every one of us have some gift here where our heart has sank a little bit, where we have, or maybe just burst into tears like that, or just took a while for us to muster up words to say in response to such generosity. And in all three readings today, we witness in 2 Samuel and in Luke, and even in Paul's message, we hear a response to an unbelievable gift. We hear this amazed response. And it happens to be the same gift, of course, for all three. It's this gift of immeasurable worth from the Heavenly Father, a Son whose throne and kingdom would be established forever. If you keep watching Crying Nintendo Kid, it's little Steve, he starts to run out of the room. And his mom's behind the camera recording, and his mom realizes what he's doing. And she says, Steve, no, don't go to your room. Don't go get your money. Don't give money to Dad. It's okay. She knows that little Steve is so moved. She knows that he must have been saving up, and she's trying to stop him and say, you don't need to do that. You don't need to go get your piggy bank. This is a gift from your dad because he loves you, because we love you. In our 2 Samuel passage today, we see David with some kind of a similar response. David has been so moved by God's goodness to him, and he's sitting there thinking about all that God has done for him, all this goodness, and he wants to give something back to God. Specifically, he wants to build him a beautiful cedar temple. And so, right there in those first two verses of 2 Samuel, we read, now when the king lived in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all of his surrounding enemies, the king said to Nathan the prophet, see now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells in a tent. So David recognized, I've been given so much by God. He's been so good to me. He's done so many things in my life and saved me over and over, blessed me so greatly. I've got to do something. I've got to give him thanks. And it's this ark he wants to build. And Nathan at first says, like anybody, you might think, great idea. That sounds good. Do whatever you think. But of course, as we read on, we see that the Lord says, no, that's not what I want done. The Lord reminds David that he doesn't need a fancy cedar tabernacle. He doesn't need David to run to his room and get his piggy bank. Apparently, cedar palaces were that was what people really liked back then. I don't know what a cedar, I'm not a construction builder. I have to talk to someone like Father Chase. Is cedar really good building material? Apparently, at the time, it was very popular. And so David thinks this is a wonderful thing to build for him. But the Lord says, I don't need this. I never once asked, why have you not built me a house of cedar? There's a podcast I love to listen to. Maybe a few of you listen to it, called Same Old Song and Dance. And the guys on there talk about the lectionary readings and imagine how they might teach it or preach it. And they say, they're thinking about how God's responding to David. And I love what they imagine here. They imagine God saying to David, David, you think that cedar is nice? I've got redwoods in California that you haven't even imagined yet. So the Lord says, no, David, you're not going to build me a house. I'm going to build you a house that's greater than any house of cedar or any other material that you could ever imagine or anyone else could ever imagine building for me. And I'm going to make your name one of the greatest names in history. And I'm going to give you a son whose kingdom I will establish forever. And that son will be the one who will build a house for me. And my steadfast covenantal love will never depart from him. So David, here he was thinking, I'm going to somehow break open my piggy bank and give back to God and thank him for what he's done for me. He's thinking, I'm going to give something good to the giver of every good and perfect gift. He was ready to crack open that piggy bank, but now here he is, after receiving so much, hearing God say to him that he has more to give, much more to give to David, much more than he could have ever dreamed of to David and to the people of God. How long did it take David to gather up his heart and his words to be able to respond with those words, who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that you have brought me thus far? And now, O Lord God, you are God and your words are true and you have promised this good thing to your servant. David was rightly blown away by this generous gift. But I'm not sure that he was as blown away as he would have been if he knew what you and I know, if he'd have understood the fullness of this gift. He did rightly understand that there was something eternal to this gift. And we see that when it says in verse 19, yet this was a small thing in your eyes, O Lord God. You have spoken also of your servant's house for a great while to come. So David did have a glimpse, an inkling of what Paul says in the Romans passage, that mystery that was kept secret for long ages. And Paul gives glory to God for this mystery that has been fulfilled in Christ. I love, a few of you might be familiar with the second century theologian Tertullian, an interesting character, has a lot of good things to say, also some strange things, and sometimes seen as a little bit of a curmudgeon. I like this little snarky comment he has in his commentary about David and David's son being Solomon. Apparently somebody was giving him a hard time and saying, oh, that's not Jesus, we're talking about Solomon, just Solomon. And so Tertullian says, now, if you explain this simply of Solomon, you will send me in a fit of laughter, for David obviously brought forth Solomon. You see what Tertullian is saying is, he's saying the same thing that Jews and Christians have recognized for thousands of years. Of course, David had a son named Solomon, but that is not all that this was pointing to. Yes, the Lord gave David a son named Solomon. Yes, Solomon did build a beautiful temple for the worship of the Lord. Yes, Solomon was disciplined for his iniquities, as this passage mentions. Yes, the Lord kept his covenant with Solomon and kept him on the throne despite his sins. But everyone quickly understood that Solomon could not be the fulfillment of this promise. He could not be this offspring, this son, whose kingdom is established forever. Solomon's throne started falling apart the day his heart started falling away from the Lord. Almost immediately after Solomon died, his kingdom divided. And a few hundred years later, that beautiful temple was torn down and the people of God were taken into exile. But the people of God continued to faithfully proclaim with David, O Lord God, your words and promises are true and good. The Lord had promised David a son whose kingdom would be forever. So those who trust in the Lord waited. And at last, the Lord sent the angel Gabriel to Mary to proclaim, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom, and of his kingdom there will be no end. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." How long did it take Mary to gather up her heart and her words to respond to this unbelievable gift? "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Mary knew, just as David knew, and rightly declared that the words and promises of the Lord God are true and good. "Let it be to me according to your word." That same word and promise so long ago given and so long waited for, that same word and promise given to David. Today, for a few more hours, we are remembering together this long-expected word and promise of God, the sinless Son of David, who took on our stripes, our punishment that we deserved, the temple who was torn down and raised up again 3 days later, Israel's strength and consolation, the hope of all the earth. And later tonight, we will continue to celebrate this fulfillment of God's word and promise. We will continue to declare forever with David and all God's people, "O Lord God, your words and promises are true and good." We cannot smash open a piggy bank large enough to thank our God. We cannot build a temple spectacular enough, a church building spectacular enough to worship our God. Instead, God has chosen to make you and me, all who believe, the temple of his dwelling. As Paul asked the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." What a breathtaking gift to be chosen as the temple of our God. It is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, to the glory of God alone, that we lift up our voices with Paul and cry out, "To the only wise God be glory forevermore, through Jesus Christ. Amen."